This is the Entertainment Answer.
I love it. I've got chills.
It's fast, fun, and frolicking.
I feel like I should say something smart.
Welcome to the Entertainment Answer.
welcome to the Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man.
I must say, I nearly canceled the entire show 2 minutes before it happened. When we walked into the studio, I almost called an audible and said, we're not doing a show this week.
Why?
Because of what you had in your hands.
What is in my hands right now?
We're not even going to talk about it. I'm not going to let you talk about it on the show.
Okay.
Well, maybe I will.
Okay, good.
But when you walked in with this in your hand, I was like, no, I have not. I didn't work hard in my career to get to this moment. I didn't work so hard to get to this moment when what would I have to talk about?
Everything that you did in your life led up to this moment.
To this very moment.
And what we're talking about is.
We'll talk about later.
We'll talk about later. It's going to be brought up, yes.
Yeah, you can bring it up in a segment.
Okay, good.
Because I just need time to process. It's still too soon. It's too soon after seeing it.
When I got it, I immediately knew exactly the first thing I was going
to
do,
which
was
here.
It was.
You're just sad that Curly's not here to experience it as well.
I am sad for that.
You're sad. Maybe we could take
but
up the drill
and send
it to him.
Get to see it.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad, too. A lot of stuff to talk about on the show this week. Kong Skull Island releases this week, so we're going to chat about that.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk to you about that. I believe that's one of the very rare movies where we both are in agreement, perhaps.
We're both in one accord.
Yes.
So, now next week, this is kind of tease next week's show. Next week's going to be our podcast version of our roundtable, our movie roundtable version. Susan and Preston will be up here. It's going to be a free-for-all match next week.
The movies we're
going to talk about and the varying opinions about those movies, next week is going to be brutal.
I can't wait.
This is going to be a light fare today.
Yeah, this is like the precursor, the pre-match for the main event next week.
Yeah, because we don't differ too much on Kong Skull Island. Yeah. Next week, though. Whew.
It's going to get rough. There's going to be blood and people might die.
A chair might get thrown.
That's fine with me. I'm prepared. I am prepared for this.
You're prepared like the Boy Scouts.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about Kong Skull Island. We've got Blu-ray news. We're going to talk about DVDs. And then I just put this list on our run sheet of the IMDb, which is the big international movie database. They put their most anticipated superhero movies of 2017. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about those and see how that list meets our list.
Yeah, I hope it'll be good. I hope so. I mean, judging by last year, there wasn't a lot of good superhero films. So
yeah, and that's why it said the most anticipated movies.
Yes.
Because we always anticipate good movies.
Yes.
Now, whether that comes into fruition, that's the studio's fault. We can't make them. Two, we can't make them and talk about them.
That's true. Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Speaking of, how's that movie you're working on? How's that going?
Which one?
Oh, I forgot. You just
so the short film that I was
the
in.
Where you were the scrubs and the
okay,
bloody,
the short
bloody
film,
doctor.
The short film called Sugar. It is basically all done right now. They're just working on some ADR, some sound stuff right now, and then it'll be finished. And then hopefully it'll be at a film festival near you guys somewhere.
So we'll see you on the red carpet pushing your film.
Oh, in character, hopefully. Where I mean, in
this, expect no less.
Where in this film, I play a kind of a crazy surgeon who takes people's kidneys out on the black market. So very excited.
It's
I wear scrubs. Yeah, it's a comedy. It's fun.
All right. Take a small break. Come back and talk about Kong Skull Island a little bit later. But in the next segment, Tammy Stronach is going to be with us and talk about her life in the movie Neverending Story.
Hooray! All right for this.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. This is The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to The Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger hanging out with you, and a special guest on the phone. Did you see Neverending Story?
Of course, it was one of my favorite childhood movies.
Standing by on the phone, we have the woman who at the time was the child actress who played the childlike empress.
Moonchild!
Yeah, so she's best known for that, but she's gone on to be a great actress, dancer, creator. We're talking about Tammy Stronach, and she's on the phone line with us right now. Hi, Tammy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your time today.
Sure. Happy to be here.
The reason we're chatting today for our listeners' benefit is we're talking about Neverending Story, which all of us remember from 1984, and just how iconic and wonderful this film was. I was in high school at the time, and I just remember we hadn't experienced nothing like it at the time, and how powerful the childlike Empress was. And all these many years later, what do you think it was that captivated us so much about that film, do you think?
I think it's a combination of things. Obviously, I certainly couldn't have predicted that the film would have had the sticking power it has, and obviously that's a really wonderful thing to have been a part of. But I think it's a combination of the message of the story, and the fact that at that particular moment, the puppets that were being used and the sort of fantasy elements were... they're kind of at the height of special effects that were kind of made by human hands. And so you weren't using CGI yet. It was really all just like a person moving a lever and pouring their personality into the you know, sort of enormous puppets. And then the sets were there, like 500 people lugged those mud trucks and branches and made the swamps of sadness, and it was this endless, enormous swamp that literally was there. So there's something about the style of the film that I think is really nostalgic, because it captured that turning point away from sort of handmade special effects to CGI. And I think, you know, for those of us that are older, that there's something a little nostalgic about that. And then also I just think that this message of doing what you dream and of not sort of giving in to the gravity of growing up and losing faith in making a better world and what's possible is like a really, really important message that we need to still keep hearing.
As a young actress back then, you even at that time involved in theater and performing and doing all that. Was it sort of lost on you at that age of wow, I'm doing this huge motion picture? And now looking back on it, you can see what an incredible event it was. But at that time, where was your mind frame? Do you remember like going to the audition and getting the role and what it meant at that age?
I mean, I was lost on me. I really didn't understand the sort of scale of what I was going to be involved in. I was just so excited. I loved the script, and I was really excited to do something more professional than the sort of smaller community theater things that I'd been doing, and I understood it was a step up from that. But, you know, when we arrived in Germany and we arrived on set, I definitely was like, whoa, this is bigger than I was expecting.
Was there something about either your character or the message? Was there any of that that you took from the role that later on into adulthood, into your career, that you sort of reflected back on and maybe took some of that and applied it to life in general?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the whole point of stories is to affect us, right? I mean, otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
So, you know, and I think, you know, reading a story, you can be super inspired and affected, and being a part of telling a story, you can be super inspired and affected. And I definitely think that for me, this notion of doing what you dream, and the fact that you could be small and you could be, you know, not seemingly not so powerful from the outside, but that you still have that your imagination is in fact your biggest source of power. That what you can vision, if you're diligent, you can bring it into being. And I think, you know, the part that one has to be careful of is the do what you dream part. It isn't just dreaming, it's the doing. Some of that can be really boring. But it's really, you know, the reality and the fantasy are linked, and if you fall too far in one direction, you know, things aren't really going to happen. So you don't want to fall all the way to earth and never dream, and you don't want to just dream, you want to do. You want to actually get up and call the name and voice it and, you know, get it out of your head. So there's something about just this call to action of believing enough in what you want to do that you do the work to have it happen.
And this might be a little bit of a personal question, but this role elevated you to stardom. Everybody knew your face, your name, this film. But then it seems like you just you didn't do much after that Hollywood-wise. I know you went on to do a lot with performing and dancing and that side of the career. Was there something about the Hollywood aspect of movie making that just wasn't right, or what happened with that?
Yeah, definitely. I was a very conscious decision to walk away from celebrity. I'm just sort of not capable of walking away from the arts. It's who I am. It's in my bones. I'll always be performing. I'll always be storytelling. I'll always be making something. But celebrity for an 11-year-old with kind of no framework for that was very daunting for me, for my personality. I really just wanted to be a regular kid like everybody else. I didn't want to be different. I just want to, I really craved being a part of a community and not kind of sticking out too much. And I think a lot of kids in that tween age sort of want that. And then my parents, too, just felt like Hollywood in the 80s was not the friendliest place for kids. There's something quite brutal about the industry. You're sort of super loved one day, and then you're kind of irrelevant the next day. And especially at a time when you're developing and growing and establishing your sense of who you are, they just wanted to have me root my sense of identity in something that was sustainable and self-driven. And I think that was actually a really wise choice for me, because it really allowed me to steer my own boat, be a director, create my own companies, and have the sense that if I want to make something happen, it's really up to me. But now in my 40s with a daughter, I feel so differently about the whole notion of celebrity. And I think that it's an incredible opportunity to connect with people. And it's a real privilege to be part of stories that are shared across so many different kinds of people. So now that my dancing years are kind of gently being, gingerly folded into a drawer and lovingly closed, I feel like, I still have a lot of performing in me, and this would be a really excellent time to kind of return to my roots. So that's part of why I created this new company, Paper Canoe Company, to create opportunities to get back to theater and acting. And I am really curious about going more in digital directions and looking at TV and movies again.
It's great to be able to catch up with somebody who was part of something as iconic and then has gone on to have the amazing career that you've had. And sounds like you've made some really great, wise choices that are they're coming to fruition now. And so, yeah.
Thank you for having me. And it's really fun to be able to have this opportunity to have this sort of shared 80s childhood.
Like I said, best of luck on all this, and appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
You can be sure and check out Tammy's endeavors at papercanoecompany.com. She's got a bunch of cool stuff she's doing. So again, it's papercanoecompany.com. And we're going to take a small break, come back and talk about Kong Skull Island, some wrestling, Blu-ray stuff, and more right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. This is The Entertainment Answer.
Entertainment Answer. We are back, and we're having a good time today, aren't we?
We always have a good time.
We do. And, when we're not talking about politics or money, we like to talk about movies.
When
here.
Do we talk about politics and money?
Never. Well, sometimes.
Do we?
In life. But we like to bring it back to movies.
I just discovered the other day, talking about politics, I was talking to a person who works at the same company I do, and they're really involved in politics. And they were talking about the governor of Texas. And I was like, I'm not sure who the governor of Texas is. I live in the state of Texas, and I'm not sure who our governor is.
I'm trying to remember.
See? This is why it's the entertainment answer, not the political answer.
Correct. We don't have the answer for politics.
I don't know.
We have the answer for movies, though.
That's right.
We couldn't tell you the Texas governor, but we could tell you the cinematographer in Kong Skull Island. Actually, we could tell you the director. John Vok Roberts.
Yes. All right. So now we alluded to this earlier in the show, how this is one of the few movies this year we've sort of agreed on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Does that make me wrong?
No, that doesn't make you. That makes you finally right for once in your life.
Yeah.
You are right. I mean, I've told you before that most of the time I'm right on things.
That's your opinion.
Yeah. So,
Well, here's my concern. You and I both really like Kong Skull Island. Like, I really enjoyed this film. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I've talked to several people between the screening and now, just randomly seeing them in other places. I'm like, hey, what'd you think of Kong? And they're like, eh, it's all right.
What?
Everybody's like, eh, it's okay.
I've talked to one person like that, and his name is Scott Jackson, and he works screenings, and he said he was bored through the whole thing. But also, Scott, our dear friend Scott Jackson, thinks that John Wick 2 is the best movie ever made ever, and he's seen it 8 times.
Now, that's a stretch.
That's what I'm saying.
John Wick 2 is really good.
I'm
not sure if John Wick 2 is better than John Wick 1. They're both really, really good. 8 times, really?
8 times. He's mentioned them all. But with Kong Skull Island, we've seen King Kong iterations of Kong many times before, from 1933 to the Jeff Bridges 1976 to 2005's Peter Jackson's revamp that was like 3 hours long, which had moments, but overall, you know, it got But this is a new King Kong, and this is part of what Warner Brothers is doing. And you know how Marvel is doing like this Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Right.
They're doing the Monsterverse.
Which is fun.
So King Kong is part of this Monsterverse where there will be like stingers at the end of credits to show like things, you know, that's going to happen in a bigger sort of film franchise. But Kong Skull Island, man, is it a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I love the setting, the fact that it's set in right, I mean, literally 24 hours after the end of the Vietnam War.
Yes.
And when we withdrew, it's set in that time period. So you had the soundtrack of the 70s. You had this really throwback homage to like Apocalypse Now.
In Platoon. The same music from those movies too. You know, all the rock, classic rock songs.
But it's funny. They do it really humorously. And not so much that it's funny that it's campy, but there's a lot of lighthearted dialogue in it. There's some fun characters. But at the same time, you never lose the intensity of who Kong is and this island that they're on.
And what's great about it is that, you know, it doesn't take an hour and a half to show Kong at all. You actually see him in the first scene. Like, it's pretty cool. Like,
it's cool.
Like, it starts right off. And, you know, with Kong Skull Island, I don't think there's really anything underneath the surface of this movie. You know, a lot of the characters are one note, but they have like that one note that they really drive home. But what it is, it's a fun action adventure that never takes itself too seriously. And that's what's fun about it. Like, you have a great time in the film.
Yeah, and that was the thing from beginning to end. Yes, there are some things in there you're like, that wasn't needed or something, but it was fun. There was never a moment that I thought, this isn't fun. I'm not having a good time at this theater.
Yeah, no,
and that
absolutely
means a lot. And you get a good dose of Kong. Unlike Peter Jackson's movie, which you referenced earlier, they don't just saturate it with all of these creatures. You have Kong, and you have some other subtle characters that give you an idea of what the island's about, and then you have his main nemesis.
Right.
So that's the focus. So you get a good dose of Kong, his motive, and it fits in and ties in perfectly with what we know of Kong and his history and his demeanor and the kind of animal and creature that he is. So I thought it was perfectly done. I loved it.
It really was. You even clapped during the movie twice.
There was one scene, not giving anything away, when somebody's peril arrives, and I clap because I could not wait for that character to get off the screen. Because I'm always going to root for Kong.
Yeah,
always.
You have to root for Kong. He's
not
amazing.
A bad guy.
And can we talk about one of the funniest characters in the movie, John C. Reilly as Harlow?
We can, yeah, because I think, and I didn't want to give too much of him away in the review because I think it's funny, his story, but he is hilarious.
Yeah, he's amazing in that film. He's the best character maybe in cinema history.
You could probably make
2 movies about him.
You know, it would be interesting to make a prequel of this prequel of just how he got there.
Yeah, so, it would be so good.
It would be, because he does add a lot of comic relief. But we're going to take a break and come back, because I want to talk a little bit about his character, though, because it took me a tick or two to get into the rhythm, and I almost checked out when he checked in, and there was something odd, but once I got into it, I liked it. So we're going to talk about his character and a little bit more of Kong, plus Blu-ray releases, DVDs, anticipated superhero movies, a lot more right here on The Entertainment Answer.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. Welcome to The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to The Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. talking about Kong Skull Island, and during the break, we were just kind of giving Brian a hard time about how his he's so passionate. He's like, this is the greatest character in cinematic history.
It's so good. We have to say, our friend Warren Lipschitz asked, who was better, John C. Reilly and Kong or Josh Gad in Beauty and the Beast?
You know what? They would be interesting companions.
They would be interesting companions, but John C. Reilly.
Yeah, John C. Reilly was very, very funny in this.
He knows.
And at first, when he first came on, I was like, oh no, because I was wanting a really intense Kong ride. Well, that could go wrong. And
he went all the way there and all the way back too.
And so when his character comes on and the humor, I was like, first of all, like, oh no, don't go there. But it was subtle enough and balanced everything else that it fit. You know, he had a couple of stepbrother lines that I could have done without.
those were so good.
They just teetered on the brink of just taking it too far.
That's his layers, his depth to his character.
But you could pretty much take anything that he said and pull it out and have a one-liner from it.
That's what makes it good. And they weren't even one-liners. It was just like his delivery. They're not jokes. They were just lines.
But it's so John C. Reilly. That was not a stretch for him.
Oh, he was so good in that.
Yeah. And Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson,
they were all fantastic. One note, I thought.
I mean, they were
good, but they were just one note, nothing to them.
And seeing Loki kind of buffed up, you know?
As like the James Bond type of character,
Brie
but in
Larson
the
getting out of the room for a while. And
finally got out of the room and went to another place.
And then there's Samuel L. Jackson.
Who is perfect in everything.
No, he's not. Samuel L. Jackson is starting to get on my nerves.
What?
Samuel L. Jackson is starting to become that actor I don't want to see anymore. I want him to retire because
you're talking nonsense.
He's the same character in everything now. He's this bitter guy, whether he's doing credit cards or doing Silence Your Phone at the Alamo Draft House, or he's doing a ton of other commercials, or he's being this. He's the same guy. He doesn't even try anymore.
And disagree.
And it's horrible.
You're
and
he wrong.
He was the weakest link in this entire film.
No way.
Yeah, and I would if he was sitting here, I'd tell him that. I'm not scared.
How can you say you don't like Sam Jackson right now?
Because I'm done. I'm tired of him.
You're not done.
It's oversaturated.
He's amazing.
It's oversaturated. He has just totally.
He is in like every movie.
Everything he's done. He even does a quote from Jurassic Park because he does it, and it was like
which was great to hear.
It was great to hear, and because I love Jurassic Park. But again, it just reminded me that he's phoning it in now.
He's not phoning it in.
He's the same character he was in Tarzan. A couple years ago.
The same character, but not the same character he was in
In the What's in Your Wallet commercial?
No, not What's in Your Wallet. Oh, Kingsman. He was great in Kingsman.
Not really.
That character.
If he would at least alter his voice a little bit or try to do something different.
But his voice is iconic.
If he would just try to bring something different to a role. He just says he doesn't care. He's just going to get a check.
Janet agrees with you.
I'm done. I'm kind of over him.
She agrees with you. I don't agree. He's still
Janet's
amazing.
Brilliant. So
she is.
There's that.
She is. I'm out on this one.
Yeah. So anyway. But I think on a scale though, I would totally recommend Kong Skull Island.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You're gonna have fun.
Yeah. And I kind of want to see it in 3D. They screened it for us in 2D. I kind of want to see it in 3D.
I don't want to see it in 3D.
No. I want to see it again though. I'm definitely gonna check it out again on the big screen. And this is one to watch on the big screen. Just the music we talked about, the look, the feel, the characters,
and
the visual effects are
top notch.
Yeah, Kong looks great, and the beasts that he fight look great. Now this does bring up a question. Then we're gonna get to talk about Blu-rays and DVDs as well. But this concerns me because you're right. They're leading up to there's another Godzilla movie coming.
Yes,
and then there's gonna be Godzilla versus Kong, like in 2020
correct.
Or something
yes.
like that. I don't want to see them to fight.
So I think it's going to be
like them both.
Well, so the first in this MonsterVerse from Warner Brothers that they're trying to do is basically they started with Godzilla from a few years ago, it's pretty good. But they're trying to do like an Avengers type of thing. And what I think is what King Kong versus Godzilla is like these creatures are good creatures, and they're trying to protect the human race from the bad creatures. So I think there's going to be like a civil war between Godzilla and King Kong where they fight each other. But at the end of them fighting, they're going to like tip their hats to each other and be like, there's a bigger force that we have to fight, which I hope that happens.
I hope that's the case because both of those are worth rooting for. You don't ever root against either one of them. They're not bad mythical creatures. They have no malice in them. They are protecting their domain. and they're doing what they feel in, you know, instinctively to do.
Yeah.
So to have them fight each other, just, I don't know. I just can't get up for that.
It's going to be good.
It's a pacifist in me.
But there's, you're a pacifist?
Pacifist?
No idea. But
I don't
like
war.
We don't like war. But yeah, this Kong Skull Island is part of a bigger picture, and there are going to be more movies, and this is a great jumping off point. It's so good. You're going to have so much fun with it.
Yeah. Well, real quick, let's get to what's coming out on Blu-ray DVD this week. Anything special on your list?
Oh, yeah. Criterion, the Neiman Marcus of home video. Kanoa, A Shameful Memory. Buy it. It is so good. If you don't
know what it's about.
So this is based off a true story about some people who worked at a university who went hiking, and then this village kept them in, and there was this crazy religious zealot that convinced the village to that they were communists and then lynched them. Crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, it's hardcore, but it's so good. Kanoa Criterion Collection. Must own.
I like the artwork on the front.
Thank you.
It's pretty cool.
You didn't do it. The movie's from 1976.
All right.
So good.
And then a movie that kind of got lost in December was Passengers. It came out at the end of the year in the mix of all these Oscar films. I want to see it again because I'm not sure if I would like it more than I thought I did then. I was in such a burnout mode of seeing end of year Oscar films to vote on that Passengers was just another film to see. And I don't know if I gave it the nod it should. So I'm interested to see that again now that it's out on Blu-ray.
So it'll look pretty good. I have not seen it on Blu-ray yet, but it'll look amazing.
Yeah. Did you like the film? Did you see it?
I finally did see it, and it had moments. Like, it's something that I'll never watch again.
Really? All right. And then Fences. Now the Viola Davis won everything for Fences. Her Denzel Washington. That's out now. See it if you want.
Yep.
Collateral Beauty, which nobody saw with Will Smith, is out. And then your favorite foreign film, L,
fantastic foreign film by the director who directed the original RoboCop, Paul Verhoeven, movie about rape.
Sort of.
And video games, basically.
Sort of. Yeah.
It's good.
So that's probably the most controversial movie, not because of the content, but because of all the attention that it got.
It's a foreign film. It was nominated
and
for...
And who was the lady in it?
Isabella Rupert or something like
something
that.
Something like
Isabella
that.
Rupert. Something, yeah. Something like that. She was great. I liked that movie.
Yeah, I know you did. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to break down IMDb's most anticipated superhero movies of 2017, plus later some wrestling news.
Some wrestling. We're going to get some wrestling.
All right, here on The Entertainment Answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. Welcome to The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to The Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you, hanging out, talking about a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I love breaking down even controversy in movies. I like that aesthetic of being able to discuss openly in dialogue, because movies are so, and art is so objectionable.
Yeah.
You know? And so I can just say this. Always do your homework. Be a good parent if you got a kid. Do your homework. Don't trust what everybody else says about something. Do some research, find out for yourself, make your own smart decisions.
Correct.
That's my entertainment answer of the day. IMDb's most anticipated superhero movies of 2017. There was 10 of them that they listed, and I just thought it'd be fun to kind of go through these, because I don't anticipate superhero movies much.
I do.
Do you?
Like certain ones. Like, I'm always excited for the new Marvel movie, and I really want to be excited for DC movies, too, but
right.
We've been let down before.
Now, I like the big blockbusters, like the new Planet of the Apes movie that's coming out. I'm excited about that.
But that's not a superhero movie,
I know,
it?
That's what I mean. Those are the kind of big blockbusters I anticipate.
Yeah, I like those.
I anticipate those. But I kind of think we're going to get what you get when it comes to superhero movies. Now, a couple of these on their list were already out. Lego Batman movie is out, and Logan is already out. So we've seen those two.
It's going to be difficult to top Logan.
As far as a franchise film, it's going to be really hard to top Logan.
Yeah, it deserves awards.
It does. I think it's a great part of his legacy. I like to know the fact that Hugh Jackman got to do this Logan Wolverine film.
Yeah.
I think that was great. So, but I don't have to anticipate it anymore because it's
out. Yeah, we saw it. It's good. It's
Lego great. Batman movie. I don't. They might have been anticipating that at one point.
Yeah, but people like it because Lego movie did so well, and Batman Lego did well, and people like it. There we go.
Now, what's the Lego Ninjago movie that comes out in September?
I actually don't know.
That was like on their list, so I guess it's another Lego movie, but about Ninjago.
Ninjago.
I don't know who that is. Then November we have Thor The new Thor movie, Ragnarok.
So Entertainment Weekly just posted the first photos from the film yesterday. It looks insanely different than what you're used to. Thor has like a very short haircut, no more long hair. He has face paint on, and the sets are like Alice in Wonderland, like just bright colors. Have you not seen these yet?
No, I try not to do too much of that because I like to see it fresh.
It looks it's bizarro world. Basically, they're on new planets, new villains. Like it, and this looks like, you know, they're taking a step out, kind of like how they did with Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it looks like there's like, here, let's try this. It's not the same type of world here. So
when's it set? Is it set after all the other ones? Is it set after Civil War?
I think so. I think it's like they're continuing. So, okay. So it's, but it looks awesome. You'll have to look at some of those pictures. You're like, wow, this looks crazy.
All right. And then, well, close to the end of the year, we got plenty of time. And then June, there's a new Transformers movie out, The Last Night. I don't know why.
Have fun?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be there so I can write my review for it, but...
Cool. Tell me what you think.
I will.
And then we talked about Logan, which it was... Now, Logan was supposed to come out in June, and then they bumped it way up until now.
Which is perfect, because nothing good comes out in January and February, but as we've seen this year, so many good things have come out, because they're not waiting till Christmas. They're not waiting till summer, so they can have their time to shine and make money.
Yeah, but are we going to forget about it by the end of the year when I'm filling out ballots? I hope not.
No way.
Like, when we're like, hey, I got to pick my best action film of the year, I want to be able to remember Logan.
You will. All right. This is not the last time you'll hear from it.
And then, of course, the one right around the corner is the new Power Rangers movie.
So I know you're too old, but I was definitely old too for Power Rangers.
Yeah, I'm too old for Power Rangers.
Yeah, I'm old for Power Rangers too. So I didn't get into that whole gimmick when I was growing up because I was out of that age range. But I know it was a big deal, and they're remaking it with, like, you know, a super big budget. And I haven't seen it yet. Doesn't look like it's for me, but...
Yeah, and I've interviewed the Power Rangers, but I haven't seen the movie. But I was talking to somebody yesterday who has, James Wallace, a good friend of ours, has seen most of it, and he said it's really good. They've done a great job with it. So if you're a Power Rangers fan, I think
you'll like it if you're a Power Rangers fan. Yeah.
So that comes out in a couple of weeks. And then, let's see, you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
which
comes out in May.
I'm so excited for. I still think Guardians of the Galaxy 1 might be the best Marvel movie so far. So this second one looks really good.
I just hope they do it justice. I hope they do something, not just ride the coattails of the first one. I hope they really took a good script and they took time to flesh it out.
I have faith in James Gunn. He pretty much always does well.
All right. If you have faith, I have faith.
Good.
Spider-Man Homecoming in July. Another Spider-Man movie with a new Spider-Man. Third Spider-Man.
I like Spider-Man a lot. And the last Spider-Man we saw in Civil War was the best one so far.
I think so.
But
it was only in a small dose.
Yes. So I'm glad to see, like, we're not getting, really an origin story again, but this is like a different Spider-Man, and so we'll get to see him do his thing, you know, that takes place after Civil War. So I'm excited for that. Iron Man's going to be in it. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, I am too, only because I liked what I saw in Civil War.
Yes.
Now, whether he can carry the entire movie, I don't know. And then you kind of mentioned DC, and then Justice League is the new movie coming out in November.
Yes.
Is Justice League going to be the new Avengers? Is it going to match Avengers?
That is, Justice League is basically the Avengers, but for DC Comics.
Right.
So you have Batman, you have Superman, you have
Aquaman,
you have Wonder Woman, you have a lot of people. So we've been let down before. We're like, oh, we're so excited for Batman versus Superman. We're so excited for Suicide Squad. It's just so awful. So going into this, Wonder Woman, you're hearing a lot of good things.
I'm not listening
to any of it. I'm going to go on with super low expectations for both of these movies, and hopefully an ounce or a glimmer will be better than what I think.
Yeah, we get Wonder Woman in June, and I think that's going to tell us if Justice League is going to be good. If Wonder Woman is an amazing film in June, we can probably get excited for Justice League in November.
I hope it's good. My feelers, my antennas doesn't think that it will be. I will like to say, like, a little thing. Wonder Woman originally was going to be directed by the guy who directed Joss Whedon, who directed Avengers. And he was going to set it in World War II. DC didn't like that idea, scrapped it, and he went on to direct the Avengers.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about wrestling, and I'm finally going to let Brian reveal his little thing he brought.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer. Welcome to The Entertainment Answer.
Welcome back to the Entertainment Answer. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger with you. Final segment where we let Brian talk about wrestling every week.
Oh, my God, wrestling.
Because it is entertaining. Now, before we do that, the very top of the show, before we did anything else, I said I almost canceled the entire thing because I walked into the studio and you were carrying this item in your hand. And I was like, no, it can't come to this. We can't talk about this. I have worked too hard diligently for it to come to this.
Because but here we are.
Tell them what you have.
I got a gracious gift from our lovely fan and friend, Warren Lipschitz. It is the record album, the vinyl of The Greasy Strangler by Andrew Hung, which is an excellent film. An excellent soundtrack. If you can tell, some of the tracks are Fizzy Barf and Get on the Greasy and Lubricate the World. It's so good. Excellent music. And like the front of the cover is just so amazing. This is like the main character in the movie.
Yeah. The front of this cover is made for radio.
Yeah, it's good.
Be really thankful that you're not watching the live show.
Exactly. It's perfect. It's full dear to me. I'm just going to wash myself with it.
Now, if you've only been tuning in the show for a few months, you probably don't remember us talking about The Greasy Strangler, which was a movie that came out last year. That was one of Brian's favorite movies.
And I admit, top 10 of the year.
I have to admit, it was a lot of fun. It was different. The characters were unique. It was no way near a great film.
It's a brilliant
movie.
It was
barely good. But the characters were so different and so out there that you, and some of the lines and the delivery.
I want you to tell me that we quote that movie every single day of our lives.
We do. I will say that. There's not a day goes by that Brian or I don't quote one line of this movie.
It's part
to
of our relationship.
It is. It's become a part of it. And that bothers me more than most things. So anyway, they did a Greasy Strangler vinyl album.
They did.
And you now have a copy.
I do have a copy.
And you shared it with us all.
I do. It's so good.
Christmas came early.
Christmas came early.
All right, so what's happening in the wrestling world?
Wrestling world, they just had a pay-per-view called Fastlane. Kevin Owens, the Universal Champion, has held the belt for a long time on Fastlane. Goldberg from back in the day, fought Kevin Owens in the main event. It lasted all of maybe 30 seconds, of course, because Goldberg, you know, can't last more than that. But he beat Kevin Owens easily and has the Universal title.
How is that possible?
Goldberg is back as champion, as the WWE. So he's going to go on to WrestleMania with the belt, which happens on April 2nd. And he's going to fight Brock Lesnar for the championship. So it'll be interesting because Goldberg's going away. He's not going to be in it forever. So Lesnar can go back, win the title, and he can be a part-time, which sucks, part-time champion again. This, he's done it. So that means part-time champion, he will show up once a month, if that. So that's sad. That's like really big news. Also, coming to WrestleMania, who showed up on Raw this past week, The Undertaker is going to battle Roman Reigns. Everybody's happy about that because everybody wants to see Roman Reigns lose right now.
I know, but The Undertaker's kind of old.
Oh, well, he is 22-1 WrestleMania victories.
Right.
So he'll win.
Now, you don't think Roman's going to like really injure him and that's how he's going to go out of his career?
No, No, if that happens, the entire WWE universe will implode and just cancel their subscription to WWE Network. I'm dead serious on that.
Really?
Yes. They.
Then what better reason for them to do that if it's going to stir up that much controversy is to have Roman take The Undertaker out and that be his last match taken off on a stretcher?
Oh, no way. It's not going to happen. Oh, if that happens, I don't know what I will do with myself.
I'm just happy to have planted that seed.
It's like Inception. So, there's that. SmackDown's been really interesting this year. Randy Orton and AJ Styles are going at it. Excellent. WrestleMania is coming up. It's going to be good. The biggest Super Bowl event of the year.
In Orlando,
Florida.
Well, thanks, everybody, for being with us. It's been a good show.
Yeah, next week we're going to have Preston and Susan in the studio as well.
Fun. I know. We should do it again. Let's just do it again next week.
Let's do it.
Bye, everybody.
Later.
You're listening to The Entertainment Answer.